It's the Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 163. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. Matt is off this week, but that's not stopping us. We're joined by Jerem Jordan of BYU Sports Nation. We discuss Bronco Mendenhall's coaching staff and how to properly evaluate them in this year of severe injuries and ups and downs. We then talk about what may happen this offseason and what coaching staff changes may happen. Will we see a certain defensive coordinator up north in the picture? We then move on to hoops and which of the newcomers on BYU men's basketball team Jerem thinks will have the biggest impact this season. We finish with a discussion of the college football playoff. Is the committee getting it right? And who do we think will be standing when all is said and done? This is the Rise and Shout Podcast. Download us and rate us, highly of course, on iTunes. You can, of course, catch great coverage and our podcast at LoyalCougars.com, and you're going to listen to us right now. Welcoming back to the Rise and Shout Podcast, the host of co-host. Do you guys call us each other host or co-host?
You can just say B-host. That's fine.
The host. That's a good point. Of the excellent BYU TV / radio / internet BYU Sports Nation program, Jerem Jordan. Welcome back to the podcast.
Adam, it's great to be back on the Rise and Shout Podcast.
Now, I've been listening to you guys, and I know that it's difficult sometimes in the bye week. Yes. During the bye week, it can be difficult to come up with stuff to talk about. So, did you find it hard to find something to talk about day after day, or does basketball fill it up?
After much prayer and fasting, yes, we did come up with the topics that we did. No, sometimes we'll talk in the afternoons a little bit. But we meet 2.5 hours before the show and discuss sometimes for like an hour and a half. Okay, what's the trending topic, we call it? We know that we're going to have other guests and whatnot. But, yeah, we put a lot of thought into those topics. And we've never once been like, oh, my gosh, we have no idea what to do, even during the summer. I mean, sometimes you make it up. Sometimes you have to manufacture a topic, whatnot. It was harder during the bye week, but I wouldn't say it was hard. There's just stuff going on, and you make a bigger deal out of smaller things, or you explore other issues, and at BYU, I think it's easier because you have a national fan base, and you have a big vision, and so with that in mind, you're talking about national relevance, you talk to national guests. I just think it's a little easier that way, but it is a challenge, but that's kind of the fun part. It's easy when there's a game day or something.
Oh,
the fun part is like, all right, it's June 7th. What are we doing? You know, stuff
right,
like that.
Right. Or the day that Desolation of Smaug, and your pronunciation, I think that was last week, was right on, my fellow geek.
We're recording this amidst me watching the behind the scenes of the Blu-ray.
Fantastic. I don't have the Blu-ray yet because my wife basically has. The new rule is I can't buy any Blu-rays after October 1st because otherwise it gets Christmas time. And she's like, you bought all these movies that you wanted. Yeah. And so there's nothing for the kids to get me. So I will most certainly be getting that for Christmas and having to wait.
Fantastic.
Month. Yeah. So, well, let's hit some topics. One of the first ones that's all over the place, and I discussed it a couple weeks ago with when Dick Harmon was on the podcast, but it's the topic of Bronco Mendenhall's status as BYU football coach. Now, I'm not going to talk about that because I've heard you guys talk about it on your show, and of course, Dick said anybody that thinks he's about to get fired doesn't understand BYU, the administration, or how things work there. Okay, so
agreed.
We'll pass that along as fact, because I believe Dick knows what he's talking about. The name that used to come up all the time was Andy Reid. Andy Reid is going to come back and save the BYU football program, Jerem. Now, that was never realistic. At least this time, the name is realistic. And then, of course, some of the columnists in Salt Lake have also added fuel to the fire. So now it's Sataki.
You can just say columnist when you say that.
Yes, columnist. Yes, fair enough.
Well, I'm not a columnist, but
So this one at least is realistic. Satake is a defensive coordinator who is, I assume someday would like to be a head coach. Now, based on what you know, do you think Kalani Sitake, say Bronco hung it up and said, you know what, this is my last year, I'm done. I know the contract's there, but I'm not going to play it out. Do you believe that he would be a front runner for the job, or do you think that is just something that guys on Cougar Board and Twitter are getting all excited about?
I think it's a Cougar Board thing. I just logistically, I think that it makes sense. I think it'd be awesome to have a Polynesian head coach at BYU at one day in the future. I know Norm Chow, if he's listening, is really upset that I said that. But I think it'd be good. And I thought Gordon Monson's article or column in the Salt Lake Tribune is quite interesting about Kalani Sitake. I think it'd be a fantastic fit at some future day for BYU if that's the direction they wanted to go. And after this season, you'd think that given the way the defense has shaked out, there would be some movement. There would be some action associated with that, whether that's Bronco taking the defense permanently again, a la post-2010 until this year, or saying, all right, maybe we bring someone in. I'm really interested to see what happens in the offseason there with the defense specifically.
Yeah, and that brings up an interesting question, Jerem, which is, he's done this before where he had to take the defense back over. He groomed, well, not he personally, but he had Brandon Doman come in as a young offensive coordinator. That did not work. Nick Howell, so far this year, it is, at least from results on the field, has not worked. Maybe Nick Howell's not the problem, but certainly in this profession, you are judged by results, and that's just how it works. Is this a problem of Bronco not being able to pick young assistants, or do you think this is just, you know, you pick a guy and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't?
Well, I think Brandon Doman was doomed by the play of Jake Heaps. I think that was that's in play. I think Nick Howell was doomed by you didn't have a Ziggy or a Kyle Van Noy to bail you out and make plays in certain situations. It's almost unfair to the coach, but ultimately you're judged for what you do with those people. But that's tough, man. Like I've been thinking this whole year. What if I was Nick Howell? Like what would be going through my mind? And those are some of the thoughts that I would have. At some point you think Bronco goes, Bronco has to figure out, okay, can I relinquish the defense ever again?
Right.
Do I have to take it over? Or is the problem, can we pay a guy enough who want to be here that's good enough? I don't know. I think Nick Howell could be a good defensive coordinator. I just don't know if the timing's right with that move.
Well, and one of the other things that rarely gets discussed when on Cougar Board everyone's talking about coordinators we can bring in is BYU doesn't pay coordinators particularly well. So, historically, at least. So, you know, Utah.
Yeah, that's part of the deal with being BYU, too. Like, if that is a fact, and that's the case, and I'm not sure we know that for sure. Obviously, P5 conferences have more money, so that's going to be that. Maybe that's just part of the deal, and you have to live with it. Like, why would that change? Why would BYU pay more? Like, why would that happen all of a sudden? I don't know. If it hasn't happened in the last 10 years, why all of a sudden would it change? I just have to ask the question.
Yeah, it's an excellent question. The other piece of this, and I think it was on today's Sports Nation. I do listen when you're not on. Sorry.
Wait, Jim. What?
Yeah,
I didn't know. I didn't even know they kept it going when I was gone.
Yeah, yeah. They have what's called a Logan takeover, which is strange. And there's talk of biceps and things.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You said they. It's only he. There's only one person
talking biceps. Yeah, I've seen not up close, but Spencer. I don't think he's talking about his biceps.
No.
So today they talked about this. The pillars that Bronco Mendenhall has set for the program, top 25 finish, 10 wins, all that stuff that he's talked about, which officially has not happened once in independence. You could debate 2011 based on one poll had us in the top 25.
Because USC was ineligible.
Correct.
We'll take it. We finished 25th.
We finished 25th in the coaches poll, which I wouldn't even count the coaches poll, seeing that it's a bunch of sports information directors voting. But is this a point where you say, you know, and I am not a Bronco hater, I'm a Bronco defender. Is this a point where you say, well, he set up what success is, and for five straight seasons, they have not hit that. Is this a point where maybe some of the criticism is legitimate versus, say, I think a couple years ago, much of the criticism on Cougar Board and other places was, like, over-the-top ridiculous? Is it kind of
legit
now?
Well, that's the case all the time, right?
Okay. Well, yes,
but,
yes.
Yeah, but 2 days ago, we looked at the last 10 years and kind of the front five and the back five of Bronco Mendenhall's tenure. The front five were the four of those five, 06 to 09, was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yes.
Beck and Hall, winningest quarterback you've got a second round pick in Beck. You got the tight end with the most receiving yards in NCAA history. You got the all-time leading rusher, all-time leading receiver. Like, unbelievable. You'll probably never do that again. So it's hard to compare to that.
Yes,
and
it
like,
is.
I was thinking about this, too. We discussed the significance of 10 bowl games in a row. In BYU's off years, they've still gone to bowl games. They haven't had losing records. That is important. That is notable. But because Utah, this is why it's hard. Because Utah went to two BCS games, the standard all of a sudden got higher for BYU. Because it's juxtaposed with that team up north. And I think that's unfair to some degree. Yes, BYU should have, in the last 5 years, had, according to the standard, by the program, not Utah, another season of 10-plus wins, of ranked, of win the bowl game. That was supposed to be this year. It was supposed to change this year with this schedule, with this group. Jamal, Taysom, Mitch Matthews, Craig Bills was still around, Alani Fua. Taysom gets hurt, everyone gets hurt, the season goes down in the dumps. BYU's still going to finish with probably 8 wins. But it just feels weird because this is the lost season.
Yes, it is. It is most certainly the lost season, which is, you know, some ways I feel like the justification of getting on Bronco and his coaching staff the year of the Heaps, Riley Nelson back and forth, which he's since, of course, come out and said was a terrible idea and he'll never do it again. That I kind of feel like was much more legit than no team that loses its starting quarterback. And don't tell me Utah State, by the way, okay, because Chucky Keaton was...
they lost three.
Well, and he was on one leg anyway. Like, he was not himself when he got hurt. And he's not Taysom Hill. You know, but all of these injuries happen. It's kind of like this is a mulligan year. It just, these years happen for almost every program, not called Alabama. You know, they just happen. You lose your top five people, nobody can come back from that outside of the Alabamas of the world who've got another five-star guy sitting there waiting to come.
Yeah, so, even then, I mean, if you lost who they, like what BYU's lost, they're losing a couple of games, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's unbelievable what's happened to BYU.
Yes.
It's been terrible. Like, it's the lost season. I'll look back at the season and go, man, what could have been? But another thing with Heaps in that year, that season was ruined because of Harvey Unger. I love Harvey. I know Harvey well. 2010 is the way it is because BYU doesn't have a senior, awesome running back in Harvey Unger.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, you lean on Jake Heaps at the beginning, and it is just toast.
It was.
If BYU had had Harvey, who was so good, it would have been so different.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's no doubt that changes the entire offense. So one last question for you on football before we jump to hoops. Have you ever written an open letter to anyone?
No.
Okay.
No, no, because I don't close my letters. They're all open. If I wrote a letter, it wouldn't be open. It would just be a letter.
I don't understand open letters. Just write a column. But anyway, I'm not here to criticize any former.
I haven't read any of those, by the way. I'm just not interested.
I read one and I regretted it. So I'm basically, if you're writing open letters, I'm not interested because it's not addressed to me. So I feel like I'm peeking over someone's shoulder. It's rude.
Right. If you want to say something like that, come on BYU Sports Nation, you speak to a nation, or you can write it.
Yes.
Something that some people will read. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about that.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move to hoops. So we know what we're getting from Tyler Hawes, lots of awesome scoring. We know what we're getting from Kyle Collinsworth, we hope, but he looks pretty healthy. And some of the more established role players, we probably know what we're getting. We know that from Luke Worthington, we're going to get awesome social media, hair, and some other things.
Bow ties, glasses.
Of the newcomers, who are the players that at the end of the season, of the ones that were not on the roster last year, are we going to be saying, wow, what an impact that guy had?
So weren't on the roster, like didn't play, so like does Chase Fisher count?
Chase Fisher counts.
Does Isaac Nielsen?
Yes, because okay. He didn't. Anybody that did not play last year, gotcha. But may have technically been enrolled in school.
If Kyle Davis were eligible to play, he would be first. Maybe sure. Over Chase Fisher. Unfortunately, he can't play. That guy, oh my gosh. It hurts to know that he cannot play this year. Chase Fisher obviously sticks out. He's going to be a guy that's going to go for 30 in a game this year. He's also going to be a guy that goes 2 for 11 in a game this year. But I think that he'll be a double-digit scorer that's maybe second on the team at scoring this year. Chase Fisher sticks out. Corbin Kaufusi, not to be confused with Bronson, which that'll happen all season from lots of people. I think that he'll be a defense presence. I'm not sure what kind of offense he'll contribute. He's really raw on offense. Contrary to popular belief, he is not Hakeem Olajuwon, but he is skilled for a while. Like he's a walk-on. Let's just remember he's a walk-on. And then I think that Jake Toulson hasn't like emerged from the preseason, but he's a guy that could be what Jackson Emery did his freshman year at BYU, which is hit a timely three, get a steal, something like that. Dalton Nixon impressed me in the 2 exhibition games. Granted, they're exhibitions, but I liked what I saw there. I still have some major questions with this team, though.
Oh, yeah.
The injuries to Collinsworth and Austin, which no one's talking about, are big. Kyle is not 100%. You know, I wonder how long it will take before he's a 30 minutes a game guy. Hopefully that's by Maui. I just get the sense that maybe not. I don't know. And then Nate Austin ended up being the second leading rebounder in the WCC last year. And he's hurt. Like, I don't know. They hope he plays Friday. That's a big loss if he can't go. He's going to become the number one offensive rebounder in BYU basketball history this year. He'll do it. Barring major injury, but that's a huge blow too. So in the beginning, I think it's going to have to be more Tyler, more Fisher, at least initially.
Yeah. And of the guys that are coming back, say the, you know, Winder and Bartley and some of these other folks, both that had, you know, Winder more established role and Bartley kind of came and went a little bit last year. Are any of those guys, do you think, going to make the leap, or are we at the end of the year going to say, well, we kind of already knew what we were getting out of Winder, and Bartley's kind of just sitting there as kind of a 10th, 11th, 12th man?
I feel like that's the case. I don't think anyone makes the leap. Next year we're going to have a crew of new guys, and guys will make the leap. But I think we know what we're going to get out of Anson Winder, and when he's at his best, that's pretty good, especially if that's a guy coming off the bench. Hitting threes, getting steals, getting out in transition. That's solid. If BYU is going to be better than last year, which I still I'm not convinced that this team right now is better than last year's team without Carlino and Mika, the sum of the parts is going to have to be better. I think Fisher is better than what Carlino contributed, but I'm not sure about Mika. I'm not sure about the rest of the front court. Granted, there's so-called depth. Like, there's guys there. Let's see how good they are as a group, as a whole. I think Worthington will be improved. Hopefully it can produce a little offense. And that's really where it boils down to. I think BYU defensively, here's where the big difference will be this year. Defense. They're just trying harder.
Yeah.
They looked a lot better in those 2 exhibitions. They're just trying way harder. So naturally they should get better at that. That will yield to maybe a little less offense because I think there'll be a little more fatigue on that end of the ball. But I think they score enough points to win games, and if they can get better defense, they're going to win several more games maybe last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my high school basketball coach said defense is effort and offense is skill, right? So if they try harder. Now, that being said, as a slow 5'9" white dude, I'm pretty sure I tried really hard on defense, and some other guys were better.
You have to be skilled and try hard.
Yes, yes. So he may have just been giving us kind of the Rudy speech. But anyway, the other question with all of this is, of course, in the conference this year, there doesn't seem to be three teams, at least if you go by, you know, Pomeroy's preseason rankings. There seems to be Gonzaga way ahead of everybody. Then everybody's putting BYU kind of in a tier of their own. And then maybe St. Mary's in a third tier by themselves, and then everybody else. Do you think by the end of the year that is how it will play out, or do you think there might be some better talent on some of these WCC rosters than maybe what the preseason polls or ratings are giving them?
I think the league's pretty good. I think last year we saw that overall there were some really competitive games. The matchups are interesting against BYU. And I think the reason BYU's the clear two is because of Tyler Haws. If BYU doesn't have Tyler Haws, they're like St. Mary's, right?
Right.
But St. Mary's, the loss of Delva 2 years later, I mean, they were just a shell of themselves. They were the Chucky Keaton of the WCC last year, right?
Right, right.
Exactly. San Francisco has proven to be pretty talented. But I don't see another threat to where I see BYU sliding into that second spot like they have the last several years. I think that's where they fit. I think Gonzaga got, I don't know if they got better, but maybe. They had some major upgrades. USC's leading scorer and rebounder. A guy that transferred from Vanderbilt, who was the leading scorer. Arvydas Sabonis' kid, Kyle Wiltshire, everyone knows is the white dude with Kentucky the year they won the title. Like, those are some nice additions.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's get you out on a non-BYU question. We have every Tuesday night this incredible ranking show that I can't watch more than 5 minutes of, that they rank here come the committee's rankings for the first college football playoff. Is this better than the BCS to you? Is this, or has this circus of these Tuesday nights made you think, oh gosh, I kind of just wait for people to argue about the computer rankings? Yeah.
I like the idea of it. Like, if we really want to take it to the next level, make it a reality TV show, let's see what they're saying.
That would be awesome.
That'd be
fantastic. I would watch.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And then you'd have people scared to go against the SEC, or I don't know. That'd be great reality television. You know, other than actual live games, that'd be fantastic. I think it's better because the BCS was like, is this a robot?
Yeah.
Like, who is this? Oh, they're actual people? Like, we can point fingers? Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, Condoleezza Rice.
And it's a playoff. It's better than the BCS. You have four.
Yeah.
That right there is by itself better.
So if you were picking tonight, they said you're on the committee, Jerem Jordan, would you have that same group of four that they picked, or do you think Alabama should be in there over TCU, or what's your feeling on the Final Four?
I think I have an SEC bias, which is I don't want that, but for some reason I have that. I just watch those games and I go, man, these guys are just better. They just are. They actually have some defense. So I think I'd have Alabama over at TCU. Although I think that if TCU wins out, they get in. Even if Baylor is on the same plane, and I know TCU lost to Baylor, that's been a big discussion. Is, well, why would you have Baylor over TCU on it? But I think they're pretty much getting it. Florida State is like they're in a real interesting spot now. Everyone's just waiting for them to lose.
Yes.
Everyone is waiting for Florida State just to slip once.
But they're not likely
to
slip.
Get out of the top 10. You're out of here. See ya.
But it's not really.
Who do you have in the four?
I would have TCU replaced by Alabama, but I don't think that's how it's going to end, though. I mean, because the SEC is going to beat each other up. The Big 12.
Alabama could lose twice.
Yes.
Mississippi State and Auburn.
Yes. I mean, I don't think Mississippi State's there at the end because I don't think they beat Bama. And then if they...
That's going to be epic this Saturday.
Yes, and if they lose to Bama, can they then emotionally recover and beat Ole Miss? I don't know. That's... but I mean, that's the thing that makes the SEC, and quite frankly, the Pac-12 this year, to me, those are conference one and two, and nobody else is really that close. No. As far as depth goes.
Big 12 puts up a pretty good fight nowadays.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, and every conference has their patsies, right? I mean, there's the Kansas in the Big 12, there's Vanderbilt in the SEC, and there's Colorado in the Pac-12, or
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has their patsy, but the problem is, right now, some of those conferences they're so competitive at the top that you kind of feel like if you're the Pac-12 champ, are you going to get squeezed out just because you all beat up on each other and then somebody with two losses wins the conference championship game,
Yeah, if I'm Larry Scott, I'm like, no one beat Oregon. Come on, you guys.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, just
Kalen Clay, thank you for dropping that ball. That was fantastic.
That somebody was in his ear saying, drop the ball. Oregon has to win this game. So as soon as that happened, what was your – I mean, did you think it'd be less than 30 seconds before BYU fans had GIFs of that all over the internet?
Oh, yeah. It was – yeah. I had not tweeted anything related to that game, and all of a sudden I was on Twitter,
Yes. Same here.
Must comment situation.
Well, Jerem, thanks for coming on the podcast. As always, we recommend folks listen to the awesome BYU Sports Nation radio/TV simulcast show. Of course, after they've listened to the Rise and Shot podcast.
That's more than fair. And I appreciate coming on, Adam. It's always fun to be on the podcast.
All right, we'll have you on again soon. Thanks, Jerem.
Thank you.